Yesham lokaima prajaha Mahashaya sapta purve Chatvairo manavastata Madbhava manasa jata Yesham lokaima prajaha. Mahashaya saptapurve chatvairo manavastata madbhava manasa jata Maharishayaha, the great sages, Sapta, seven, Purve, before, Chadvaraha, four, Manavaha, Manus, Tata, also, Matbavaha, born of me, Manasaha, from the mind, Jataha, born, Yesham, of them, Loke, in the world, Imaha, all this, Prajaha, population. Translation. The seven great sages, and before them the four other great sages, and the Manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. Purport. The Lord is giving a genealogical synopsis of the universal population. Brahma is the original creature born out of the energy of the Supreme Lord, who is known as Hiranyagarbha. And from Brahma, all the seven great sages, and before them, the four other great sages named Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar, and the Manus are manifested. All these 25 great sages are known as the patriarchs of the living entities all over the universe. There are innumerable universes and innumerable planets within each universe, and each planet is full of population of different varieties. All of them are born of these 25 patriarchs. Brahma underwent penance for 1,000 years of the demigods before he realized by the grace of Krishna how to create. Then from Brahma came Sanaka, Sanandan, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar, then Rudra, then the seven sages, and in this way, all the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are born out of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is known as Pitamaha, the grandfather, and Krishna known as Prapitamaha, the father of the grandfather. That is stated in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Gyanti Marandasya Gyanangara Shalakya Chakshuram Namitanyana Tazmashu Chaitanamanovistam Stapitam Munabutale Sayamrupa Kadamaya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda. So here Krishna is giving a little bit of explanation about the creation which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first Purusha is known as Karano Dakshaya Vishnu. And he lies down in actually the universe comes from the skin holes. We all have, if you look at your skin closely, you'll have holes in the skin. So the universes actually emanate from these skin holes. So Garbha Dakshai enters into each one of those universes. And each one of those universes is half full with water. And he lies down and he just relaxes because he's Vishnu, he doesn't have anything to do. And from his navel, a lotus flower, a lotus stem first sprouts, and then obviously the lotus flower is born. And this gives birth to Lord Brahma. So within the stem are situated 14 planetary systems. And we're right in the middle. So there's... It doesn't state. I'll check for you. So there are 8 planetary systems underneath the earthly section. And it's understood that the middle part is a place where there's enjoyment and suffering, everything's mixed. But above that is heavenly enjoyment, and underneath that is hell. But for a devotee, it's all hell, the middle, the top, the whole thing, because it's not Krishna Loka. It's not connected to the Supreme Lord. So from Garbha Dakshai Vishnu comes Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. And Shiro Dakshai Vishnu is the collective supersoul of all living entities. And then from him come all the incarnations. So then Mahavishnu lies down, also in an ocean. This is called the Karana Ocean, the causal ocean. And from him comes the Mahat Tattva, which is the sum substance of all creation. Question? And then material nature herself creates universes. It's understood that all the planetary systems are situated... It's quite difficult to understand because we just heard that the planets are situated inside the stem. But it's also understood that the universes are situated on the body of the Mahavishnu. So when the devotees see this Purusha, they don't see Krishna and they don't see Vishnu with 4 arms. They see thousands of hands, thousands of legs, thousands of eyes. So in the beginning, it's explained here, there were the 4 Kumaras. These are considered the first incarnation of Krishna. Although they're not directly Krishna, but they're counted as the first incarnation. Then all the rishis, manus, and demigods are portions of plenary portions. They're not directly Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a candle. You light different candles, so they all have the same potency of light, but they're not all exactly the same. So these include the Prajapatis. Prajapatis are progenitors of mankind. So the building blocks of this universe are 8. Do you know them? Would you like to try? The building blocks of this universe is made of 8 substances. Yeah? Okay. What's the nature of these 8 things? Because let's say building block, a brick, what is it made of? What is its substance? It's made of some type of clay, right? So the 8 building blocks are solid. These are the qualities, okay? Solid, liquid, yes. Gaseous. Ethereal, mind, intelligence, false ego, did I say radiating? Radiating also. So Brahma manifests all these 7 great sages, the original 7 great sages from his body, they become Prajapatis. So simply by deliberation is considered the best part of the body of Brahma. So this shows us how deep Vedic culture is, because when we think of body, we think hands, eyes, legs, stomach, etc. But deliberation is considered part of the body. It's considered the best part of his body. So Narada comes from deliberation. Vasistha is comes from Brahma's breathing. Daksha comes from the thumb of Lord Brahma. Bhrigu is generated by the touch of Lord Brahma. Very interesting. Kratu comes from the hand of Lord Brahma. Pulastya comes from the ears of Lord Brahma. Angira comes from the mouth. And Aitri comes from the eyes. Marichi comes from Lord Brahma's mind. Pulaha comes from Lord Brahma's navel. And Kardama is the most interesting. He's generated by the shadow of Lord Brahma. So these sages, they create the 8,400,000 different species of life. So why should we study this? Why don't we just sit and talk about Krishna Bhav and gopis? That's easy to understand, no? Loving relationships are easy to understand. Why should we worry about 8 golden blocks? Yes, Mataji. Because we identify with the body, the false ego, yes. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that you need to know the field and the knower of the field and the difference between both. But I'm looking for another answer that comes. Srila Prabhupada gives the answer in Bhagavad Gita, not here but somewhere else. Yes? That's a good answer. So that we appreciate the greatness of Krishna and become amazed. Yes, Prabhu? So Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that if you know the nature of my appearance and disappearance, if you understand me, you become free from birth and death. And Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam applies it to this section. This was quite a realization for me because I always thought nature and appearance refers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead with two hands. If you understand how he comes, how he kills demons, then you can be liberated. But it seems to be a little bit more, that we need to get a little bit more into detail. So Srila Prabhupada actually mentions this in connection with creation, that we have to understand all of Krishna's different pastimes and qualities. So it's explained that persons who are learned and who have true knowledge define sound as that which conveys the idea of an object. So to hear something, we need sound, right? So the Vedic description of sound, I'll just read it again. Persons who are learned and who have true knowledge define sound as that which conveys the idea of an object. In other words, there has to be an object in order for sound to be there. It indicates the presence of a speaker. There can be no sound if someone is not speaking. And who constitutes the subtle form of ether. So in other words, sound comes from ether. So letters are the bijas or the seeds of all existence. This is another very interesting fact that I learned today. Bijas, letters are bijas. And they're the seeds of all existence. So in one sense, we can understand that we are generated from sound also. Who knows how many letters there are in the Sanskrit language? How many letters? Like in English, A, B, C, D. Yes? 50. First one? Nice. No. Om is considered as the very first sound vibration, but it's not the first letter. Prabhu? Close? It's two English letters or two French letters put together. Ak. Ak. And the last one is Shara. So the word for alphabet in Sanskrit is Akshara. And Akshara means infallible or supreme. So here we see again, things that we consider material, we just take for granted in our Western way of life. In the Vedic counterpart, everything is spiritual. Everything, even the alphabet, is connected to Krishna, Lord Vishnu. So in the Tantras, the Aksharas are traced back to deity of Shakti. Shakti is Mai Devi, Durga, And each of our stages is manifested by, sorry, each of the letters is represents a stage of manifestation of her different phases in evolution. In other words, the world doesn't just stay static. By the activities of Maya, the world is evolving all the time, changing. If your grandparents, for example, had to come back now, or let's say your great-great-grandparents, they'd be really shocked if they saw computers and iPods and iPads and all these things. So, by the mercy of Durga, it's always evolving. So sound is considered as the shelter of meaning. This is something to remember. Sound is considered the shelter of meaning. But noise is a different thing. It's not considered the shelter of meaning. So sound, it means that there has to be consciousness behind the sound. One who speaks has some kind of consciousness. So this brings us back to the very beginning of the lecture, when we realize that we have contaminated consciousness. Because when we speak, what do we speak about normally? What do we speak about? All kinds of nonsense, materialistic things, even as devotees sometimes. If you go and sit in the tent amongst groups of devotees and see how many are talking about Krishna, it's amazing. Anyway. So it's very important to purify our consciousness, and this can only be done by sound, because sound is, as I just explained to you, it's the source of everything. So sound contaminates us, but it can also purify us. Just like the mind is your greatest enemy or your greatest friend, sound too either contaminates you or it purifies you. So we have to make it a habit to fit it in somehow, somewhere during the day, that we listen to Bhagavad Gita class or Srimad Bhagavatam class. And Srila Prabhupada states that reading is considered listening also. But listening in the association of devotees is considered more powerful, just like chanting. If you chant japa, it's very powerful, but if you sing in a kirtan, it's considered that it's, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said it's 100 times more powerful. It doesn't mean that we have to have kirtan all day and don't chant hours. It would be nice. But we'll do that one day in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. That's the devotee himself, but he is realistic enough to understand that this is hell, because if it wasn't hell, people wouldn't be suffering. Everywhere you are referring to Lord Chaitanya. So then why did you become a devotee? You were just happy, right? Why did we all become devotees? Because we got fried of the material world, realized, I'm suffering here, this place is not that nice. So when we become purified, yes, definitely, everywhere is Vaikuntha, because we carry Vaikuntha with us and we give Vaikuntha to everybody else. But definitely if you go outside and ask everybody, are you in heaven? They're not going to tell you that they are, if they're honest with themselves. So the point that I was getting at is, because Krishna is not obviously all pervasive. In other words, if you go in a bar, you don't see Krishna. If you go in the average house, you don't see Krishna. But if you come in the temple, you see Krishna. That's the difference in the consciousness of the two groups. So the devotee sees the material world as hell, but at the same time, a devotee is willing to go to hell if it means that he can preach to someone and take them back with him. Is that okay? Debate? No? Remember when I made that statement, I wasn't... You have a point, but what I'm saying is the devotee sees the place as hell for other conditioned living entities. I feel sorry for you that you're suffering, and therefore... Thank you. That was the point I was getting at. But because there's some suffering, we don't see it as the spiritual world. But when we're purified, just like we were doing in Bhakti Shastri course today, they gave us a section and said, tell us how you see Srila Prabhupada there. And all of us had the realization that Srila Prabhupada had Krishna Loka with him all the time. All the residents of the spiritual world are with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhu, would you like to say something? Ordinary illicit couple. Just superficial. As your relationship gets deeper, then you really appreciate the devotee. There is a danger at the moment in ISKCON because groups of younger devotees are starting to say that Srila Prabhupada's purports are too repetitive, and they start reading comic books and doing all other kind of things. But the reason Srila Prabhupada repeats himself so often is because we're so dull, we don't get the message. I'm sure all of you have had the experience where you sit and you read for half an hour and suddenly you realize, wow, nothing went inside. Did you have that experience? You read for half an hour, and then you stop and you ask yourself, what did I just read? And you don't actually know. Srila Prabhupada understood this. That's why he repeats himself so often. Some devotees used to say, I don't go to Sunday feast program because they just tell you you're not the body. But do you know you're not the body? Do you really realize? No. It takes us many, many years to have that realization. Theory, yes, but realization is another thing. Would you like to make some closing comments, Mataji? Prabhu? No? Prabhu? Prabhu? Some closing comments? The seven great sages, and before them the four other great sages and the Manus, the progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind. and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. It's Pulastya, Pulaha, Marichi, Atri, which one didn't I say? The ones that I mentioned, and I told you where they originated from. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Tai Gopinath.